God is good. In the New York Annual Conference and in other places, whenever the bishop or the pastor or the leader says, God is good, the declaration response is all the time. So let's try that. God is good.
All the time.
And then the leader takes it the next step further and says, all the time. And the people respond, God is good. Right. You got it. Now you don't have to worry about me doing this very often. I just wanted to introduce you to the tradition, because in a few months the bishop is coming and he may say to you, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And I want to be sure that you guys know how to respond if you hear him say, God is good. Well, God is good, and God is good all the time. And one of the most precious ways that I believe we experience the goodness of God is through God's compassion. This week's theme is compassion. In the past weeks, most of our consciousness has been peaked at the wonderful gift that God gave us through Jesus' work and the Holy Spirit living and reigning in our hearts. The grace of God is the goodness of God, and the goodness of God is shown to us in the expression of his compassion. I think we're having technical difficulties because we're trying to record. Is that why I'm getting so much feedback? What do I need to do? Okay, better. The word compassion can be broken down into two parts. Com is the prefix that means with, and passion is another word for pain. So God with us, com, in our pain, passion. Since the beginning of time, God has related to humanity from within its passion and pain. God has lived into the holy habit of compassion, and God continues to live within it today. God is, in every way, compassionate. Throughout the Old Testament, we can trace the thread of compassion as God continually enters into the pain of the fallen ones. In the garden, God searches and out the guilt-laden couple, hiding in their shame, and moves within their pain and embarrassment, and rescues them by providing skins to cover their nakedness. He forgives them, and he gives them a promise of a future seed who would bruise the head of the serpent. That was the very first prophecy that Jesus would come to the earth to redeem it. Later, when corruption had taken over the world, God once again moved with compassion through Noah's family and had Noah build the ark to rescue the fallen world from the passion and the pain that corrupted it and from the floodwaters which would destroy it. Unfortunately, not anyone but Noah's family responded, but the rescue was there. And we see God continually reworking God's creation through compassionate relationships. God acting within the passion of the patriarchs, making covenant with them that God would be their God and they would be God's people. God never left them alone. God never moved from without, but always from within the passion and the pain caused by corruption and evil. God always ended with forgiveness and reconciliation. Even when the divided nation went into exile, God provided prophets to assure them that God was with them and mindful of them, and would return them to their rightful heritage. Continually, the prophets would tell of a coming Messiah who would be called Emmanuel, God with them, in their passion and pain. Then the glorious day came, and in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, empties himself of his God qualities and comes to earth born of a woman to enter the human condition in the ultimate act of compassion. Philippians 2:8 and following says about Jesus that though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I know that you have heard it said, misery loves company. And we know this as a not so nice way to say that miserable people want to find other miserable people so that they can commiserate with them and compare their notes to see who has the biggest miserable tale to tell. But I would change the saying so that it would be even more truthful. Instead of misery loves company, I would say misery needs company. Isn't that more like the truth? If I am miserable, I want someone to care enough to come alongside of me and encourage me that everything will be all right. Someone standing on faith to help me to move out of the misery that I am experiencing. Every day I am confronted with the pain of this world. In fact, we all are. The Bible tells us that the earth, the animals, people, the entire creation is groaning in pain, waiting for the day that the kingdom will come and all will be put back the way it was first intended and first created. Each week, I am aware of my own pain, my own groaning for the total redemption of my heart and my life. Of course, our hope for all to be right is a futuristic hope. So while it is great to know that, it doesn't help in my situation today. No, my hope has to be relevant today. And the hope of all creation is that Jesus is standing ready now to enter our lives and live with us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus enters into our pain at whatever level we are experiencing it. We do not have to experience it alone. God is with us. God is good, and God is with us, and it is good. So Jesus enters our loneliness, our illness, our unrighteousness, our pain through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he whispers to our heart, it's going to be okay. Yes, God is good. But that is not the only way that Jesus comes alongside of us. Jesus also enters our situation through the compassion of the believers. There are people who are gifted with the ability to reach out and be there in the pain with others. They are folks who have been given the spiritual gift of mercy. But whether or not we have the supernatural gift of mercy, We are all Jesus' disciples. And Jesus beckons us to enter into the passion and pain of others, to practice the holy habit of compassion. This is not Jesus' way of saying it's okay to commiserate with someone. No, that would not be faithful at all. If you are telling me your problems and I am patting you on the head and say, oh, what a terrible life that you have, I am not being faithful to the God that I serve. The God that I serve is a good God. And while you are in the pain, and I will embrace you in your pain, I will speak words of hope into your ear that Jesus knows your pain and he is affected by your pain and he wants you to find joy in your circumstances because he is there with you. It is his way of saying to us, not commiserate, but get your hands dirty and get in there and experience the pain that your friend or relative or even a stranger is experiencing. And while you are in there, speak to the situation the words of faith and encouragement and comfort. You might say, Pastor, that might hurt too much to do. Wouldn't it be all right if I just send a card? Or call them and let them know I was thinking about them. That way I wouldn't have to hurt with them, and yet I'd be doing my Christian duty, and maybe even encouraging them along the way. Well, like they say, that would be better than nothing, I suppose. But the truth is that we never are asked to serve or minister the hurting while we remain stoic and unaffected by their plight. To do so would be to miss the point of representing God in relationship to God's people. God is calling us to be willing to get so close to our neighbors and their pain that we actually are in it with them. Calm means with. Passion means their pain. Jesus said to do this for the least would be to do it for Jesus. Through our willingness to get within their pain, we are actually entering into the divine trinity of compassion. God is good all the time. We all know what it means to have someone come alongside us in our pain, in our sinfulness. We have all experienced God through the compassion of someone who was willing to allow themselves to enter our pain on Christ's behalf and to share the good news of God's compassion, acceptance, and forgiveness of us. While we were yet sinners, God's love loved us and sent his Son. We now are blessed with the privilege of coming alongside of others, men and women, who for one reason or another have been hurt and broken. Perhaps they are growing old and unhappy with their body's betrayal of their will. Perhaps they have lost a loved one and they depended on for their care and companionship. Perhaps they have been diagnosed with a disease that they weren't ready for. Perhaps their children are unhappy, and because their children are unhappy, they cannot be happy. Perhaps their minds are blacking out on them and they are terrified of losing their mind, their memories, their loved ones. Whatever the situation, there is a bit of pain in each of our lives, and so we can identify with those who need us to be with them in theirs. Christ said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." This is God's compassion. This is Christ's compassion. And we also are called to let it be our compassion. Without the compassion of Christ, there can be no healing, no setting free from addictions, no recovering of the sight for the blind, no letting the oppressed go free. With it, we can set those that are suffering these things free. As we recognize how good God is and what his goodness is seen most in his compassion and love and care of his creation, we know we are to be instruments of that goodness and that compassion. What a privilege it is each day to be able to be used by God in the life of someone who needs us to join them in their misery. What a privilege to share the goodness of God by sharing God's compassion. What a privilege it is to share the hope and the joy of believing in a Savior whose arms are not too short to touch our pain and turn our mourning into gladness. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Let us rejoice today because we know God and we know that God is good.
Amen.
Amen.